the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. His righteousness endures forever. His praise endures forever. The word of the Lord.
Oh, here. It's my first Sunday back since last year. And I didn't go anywhere. You know? I mean, I still was in Spirit Lake, but not in a place where I really wanted to be. But I do have some announcements. Are going to be long today. I think you guys can probably sit down. Except for Dina and Disa, because you have an announcement that you want to make. Go ahead, Dina.
Yeah,
you want to go first.
This is my announcement. That's why I said you have to sit down.
Well, the directories are finally here. $10. They're a little cheaper this year, which is surprising. They are in the office, and you can write a check, you make it out to Harbor Joy, a little $10 cash. And there is one little change here in the book. I got some information a little late, so I just put that in the book. And that's all. Well, enjoy.
Smiling at you guys.
Did anybody hear what I said? We can have the directories and they'll be in the office.
And Thursday night we're going to be doing a community table. And so those who would like to help at 4:30, be at the Founders Hall and the Bible Conference grounds here. And then we'll get everything set up for serving from 5:30 to 6:30. And so we would appreciate your help. And if you are bringing bars and you don't want to bring them to Founders Hall there at the grounds, just drop them off at the church here in the kitchen, and I'll pick them up about 4 on Thursday. So, yeah, just that's a good option for some people, maybe. So, and aside from that, appreciate everybody who has stepped up to help. And we'll see you guys on Thursday at 4:30. So.
Does anybody have a birthday?
Yeah. Oh. Maybe yesterday. March 5th.
March birthdays.
And we have Sam little Jamie. 1 year old. Happy birthday to your friends.
All right, it's back to me, right?
Yep.
All right. Sharon, what are we doing Thursday afternoon? Just want to make sure we're on the same page. If you got the bulletin as you came in today, just want to let you know a few things, and then I want to tell you a little bit of what happened to me, why I wasn't here for 2 months. But Lenten services start this Wednesday night at 6:00. And we're going to be going through it's called Jesus on Trial. So we're going to take one aspect. Can somebody say something? we're going to just start with a conspiracy and then move along with a trial, kind of a setting for Jesus. And then I also want to let you know that we do have a outdoor food pantry that's coming to be. It'll be here, attached to the south wall of the church. And Dave Reed has been the one that has been behind us from the very beginning. Dave, are you here?
I'm here.
He's back there. Just stand up, because I'll interview you next week. So you can sit down. Dave is the one that has been really been excited about the food pantry, and you find in your bulletin the kinds of things that can be donated And then he's going to restock it as he'll come by every day or during the week to make sure it's stocked. And we'll make sure it's well stocked and people can come and take what they need. And they can also bring in the community, they can also restock themselves, but we want to be a blessing to the community. And I can't think of a better way to do that, especially these times with inflation and different things happening with people, that once the word gets out that we will be doing this as a church, the hope is that it not only will meet the needs of people, but that there might be people that also then will say, like, well, if a church is willing to do this, maybe we should come and find out who attends here, what goes on in this church. And it's another kind of an outreach as well for the community. So thanks, Dave, for all that you've been doing. And Dave does have a great support behind him, Sarah, his wife. Just want to make sure that she gets recognized too. You want to say something, Dave?
Yeah, just a little announcement on that. The food, you can start bringing any time. There's a list of items here. And I've collected the list of these items for other food pantries out east at other churches, where I kind of got the idea from. I did set up shelves this past week. There's a closet over here where the spare wheelchair's at. If you walk in to the left, or you have shelves in there, so you can just set all your food in there, and I'll organize it whenever you want to start bringing it.
Hey, thanks. Or just give it to Charlie, and Charlie will let Dave know that there's food to pick up in the office. So that's all the announcements. That you can read other things that are in there, but what I got here is, it's not a full detail, but it just gives a little bit idea what's been going on since last year. I did not expect to get COVID. I didn't think I had COVID. I never had any of the symptoms of it. And just before I get to that part, I just want to say thank you to all of those of you that took the time to send cards. Because this is how many I received in the mail. And I also know that Kathy Vermees received many cards from the church too. And the interesting thing is, when I went over to see her, I wanted to see how she was doing after having a heart attack, that her husband Don, he said, "Look at all these cards." He said, and he got tears in his eyes. Just those of you that sent cards to Kathy. And it made a big impact, not only on her, but also on Don. And so, and this made a big impact on me too. I'm going, like, I don't like attention. I'd rather just kind of be the guy that rides off on a horse into the sunset, and that's all that really matters. But I just want to show you a little bit of how many cards I did receive. And thanks for the food that some of you brought over and put on the outside of the doorstep, because you didn't want to talk to Sharon because she had COVID too. And that was okay as well, but all those things were very, very meaningful. So I'd like to just thank, I know what's wrong with this mic here, but I just got to keep on this way. But I'd like to just thank Dean Ramsey. He's not as ornery as he used to be. But thanks, Dean, for covering all the bases with all your phone calls to people to make sure that the church continued to run smoothly. And you did a great job. And Charlie and Bob, thank you for all the added work and the coverings that you did when I was not here. And maybe that was a good thing. You kind of go, like, it's kind of nice to just be the two of us here rather than having Tim here. But the Sunday speakers, thank you, Gloria, for filling in on the whole month of January. And Pastor Dan Winkowicz and Pastor Dean Ramsey even showed up on Sunday. And you did a great job, Dean. You really, really did. Even though you stepped out of the boat, out of your comfort zone, and you did what you did, I thought you did an excellent job. I listened to you on Zoom and saw you, and I really appreciate what you had to say. As well as Pastor Phil Castle, who was here, and Becky Rowe, leading the service. I thought it was an excellent job. And then for the cards, the text, the food. And I'm just proud of all of you. You're an amazing group of people. When I went to the hospital, I said, I got to get back to the office. Dean would call me up and said, we don't want you back. I go, what does that mean? He said, we don't want you back until you are completely over COVID and you got your strength back. And I just said, are you serious? I go like, well, how long do you think that's going to be? I figured I'd be back in a couple of weeks at the latest. And Dean says, no, we got you covered from all of January and February. We'll see March 1st. We'll shoot for March 1st. And so that's what we have done. But I just can't thank you enough for that. I would never, ever have thought you would be agreeing to allow the pastor to be out of the whole function of the church for that long of a period of time. So here's what's happened. Here's what happened. You sure you want to stand? It'll take a while. I want you to hear straight from the horse's mouth so you don't hear any rumors. But I don't got all the details. There's a lot of things I left out here, but I just wanted to give you a little rundown. That Sharon, my wife, was telling me that I was not driving right. I was taking too wide of turns. And I'm going like, really? I go, but I noticed that too, but I didn't hit anything. So she was saying, something's not right with you, Tim. And I was sleeping all the time when I was at home. My daughter Emily was here today. I didn't expect you to be here today. She came over to the house right away and goes like, both of you got COVID. And then she kind of laughed and I go, who does she think she is? That she can tell that we've got COVID. I go, this is just a bad cold. I've had this every year type of a thing, and that's what I thought of what it was. But when Sharon took my oxygen count with this little thing, it was kind of put on your finger, and it tells you a number that you should be in like the high 90s if you've got good oxygen in your blood. Well, when she put it on my finger, it came up 78. And she said, you're going to the ER right away. So she called my daughter Emily, who came over. I didn't say anything because I take Ron Knutson's advice. You listen to your wife. She said, you're going to the ER and get this checked out. 78, that's really low. So Emily came over right away, took me to the ER. I told them, I said, well, they say that I got low oxygen in my blood. They took me into the ER, to the room, and they took my oxygen level. And at that time, it was 68. So, and I'm looking at them, I'm going like, so what's the big deal? I feel fine. I said, there's nothing wrong with me. I can breathe good. I know what's going on around me. And so that's the way it was. I really didn't have a good appetite. That was the only thing. But that was about a week before. Even at that time, I did not eat much. So that was on a Monday night. I took Sharon to the ER early Sunday morning before that, and that she had COVID. They gave her a shot for her headache and some other things, and they sent her home. And then Monday night is when I went in. About 8:30, was it 8:30? It was 9 o'clock. That was bedtime. After I'd been sleeping all day. So I went to the ER at 9 o'clock, and the nurse checked my oxygen level of 68. And my favorite line to everybody was, I feel fine. Now, that's what happens when you have low oxygen to the brain. You think you're fine. And so you might have a pastor who's got some brain damage over this whole thing. But by the looks of everybody in the emergency room, I was just kind of trying to figure out, well, what's going on here? I just said, this is my daughter, Emily. Whatever she says, I'm in agreement with. It kind of changed the whole playing field. But they were talking about a ventilator. They said, you know, your next step is a ventilator. And I knew that's not a good thing. But I couldn't understand why I needed a ventilator because I could still breathe good. didn't have any symptoms that they would ask if I had shortness of breath, or could I smell, could I taste food, I mean, all that I could do. But I just said, I just don't know what you're worried about. And they said, you're in tough shape. You don't know how bad you are. And after listening to some of this since I've been out of the hospital, it's really, I should have died. With the low oxygen, I should never have made it. I didn't want to go on a ventilator. So about a couple hours later, they just said, well, if your oxygen level doesn't go up here in the next little while, we're gonna have to put you on a ventilator. And I said, well, I don't want that. And so my daughter just said, well, can you have an NAC? IV? You know, so they put an IV in me, and they put some tube in my nose for some oxygen, and they took me up to the IC, now it's called the CCU room, critical care unit. And that was probably right around 11 o'clock. And then they just kind of tore off my clothes, and I don't know, that I would not have worn red underwear. put the gown on you that they put you in the hospital in, and put a mask over my mouth and nose, and cranked up the oxygen level in there, and that was I'm going like, I can't believe this was happening, and I felt more suffocated with that mask on than I did without it. But I knew and said, okay, something's going on here that I better just breathe in deep and let it out slow. That's what I was kept being told to do that. And so I didn't eat anything for like 4 days. I was in the ICU room. And one of the nurses there, a great nurse, she said, I'd like to just advise you that you should probably start eating something. And I'm kind of going like, well, I'm not hungry. She goes, well, I can't make you eat, but I think you should think about eating something. Little did I know that the dietitian in the hospital, they would always see who's eating and what they're eating, and she'd keep track of that. And so I got to thinking, I'm going like, I better eat something. So I ordered a chocolate shake and a Neapolitan cup of ice cream. I couldn't eat all of it. I just drank half of the shake, ate half of the ice cream. And then when they took my blood the next morning, it showed that I had high sugar content in my blood. I had to have insulin. And they asked, are you diabetic? I go, I've never been diabetic. They said, well, you've got high blood sugar. And we got to give you insulin. I go, like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm thinking I'm not eating, but I have this full of sugar. And so they gave me 2 shots in my back of insulin. And I've never had that done in my life before. Never had a shot in my belly before, because that was to stop blood. It was a blood thinner, is what it was. But I'm glad I had some fat tissue in my once. I did have a six pack one time on my belly, but not anymore. And so you didn't really feel that when they jabbed you with that. But wow. So long story short. When I was in the hospital, I was in ICU for 5 days before they went out onto the main floor for another 4 days. But the nurses always noticed that when Emily was there, and I would kind of wave to her through the glass door, or if she came into my room being with the guard, they noticed that I had company. And I go like, well, how do you know that? They said, well, your oxygen level went up when company came, especially family members came. Now, at this time, I mean, I did get some texts from people, and I don't know who you are. Some of you I did answer. It was always very short. It was emoji or something. But I really didn't want to talk to anybody, because I really couldn't, because I had that mask over my nose and my mouth. But I go, like, I just really don't want to talk, but if my family came in there, I would tell them the same thing, because you couldn't understand me anyway if I said anything. So just ask yes or no questions, and I can nod my head or go that way. But I just loved that they were there. And so our other daughter came down from Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and spent a few days with Sharon. Thankfully, Sharon, did you call Cheryl? Or did she just show up at the door?
I texted her.
Oh, you texted her. And she came and spent one night and two nights with Sharon, was there at the house. That was wonderful, too. But in the meantime, I'm in my bed, and I'm just going like, and this is, you know, the greatest time to be sick is in January because you got all the playoff games, football. And that's what you do in a hospital, you watch football. But I could never make it through the second quarter. I would be sleeping. And a lot of times I would think about going like, you know, when I get out, if I get out, I didn't know what was really going on other than it was pretty serious. I thought of Vern Hansen. I said, I got to make sure I see Vern the first thing I do when I get back to the office. I've got to check in on Chuck Teelburg and Donna, see how they're doing. I wanted to see Kathy Vermaids because I knew she had a heart attack and she was taken to Sioux Falls, but she was back home. And then she was in the hospital again here in Spirit Lake. And so there was a number of people that I really wanted to have contact with, even Dwight Anderson. I'm going like, I texted Dwight a little bit, but I go like, hey Dwight, I'm not really wanting to stay away from you, but this is what's kind of going on with me. And so I thought maybe Vicki would be talking to Dwayne, keeping him abreast of what's happening as well. And he was very gracious with all that too, and I finally did get to spend some time with Dwayne after maybe a couple weeks ago or something like that. So the interesting thing is that whenever the nurses would come in, even from the first time I was in ICU, they would say, so how are you doing today, Tim? And I always go, I'm fine. When can I go home? And they go like, you're a long ways from going home. And so I didn't like to hear that because I think I did. Did I talk to you, Sharon, or did I text you? I texted her, I go like, time goes by so slow in the hospital, and I just don't know if I can be here that much longer. I just wanted to get out. So I was tempted to fly the coop. But I couldn't do it if I tried. That's so weak. And that was one of the other things. I was so weak that I couldn't even pray. And I'm just going like, Lord, I know you're my Savior, and I just can't pray anything. I'm just tired and wore out. And so
we were praying for you.
And I could tell. And I could tell that. I thank you for that, because I go like, it will be for the Lord first and for my family being there through this. I don't think I would have made it by any means. But when the day came, day number 9 and a half, they said I could go home, and Emily came and picked me up and took me home, and that was probably like one of the greatest days of my life, other than getting married, of course, and having kids. That was good too. But everything I would hear from the doctors or from the nurses just saying that, hey, you're looking good, things are going in the right direction, it's just going to take a while, and I kept telling them, I'm fine. So that was always my comeback to them. One of the nurses said to me, you know, think you're smelling a flower, so you gotta breathe in as hard as you can and then let it out really slow as you exhale. But like you're smelling a flower. I go like, that's a good analogy there. So from where I was to where I'm at today, it's amazing. Because I was probably 88 to 92 is kind of where they said they wanted me to be, and I was kind of in that oxygen level. Whereas now I'm at 98, 99, sometimes I see 100. And they give you one of these little plastic things you suck in, and you kind of watch it go up, and then you let it go, watch it go down. Well, before I could only do like probably, just say like 1,500, where now I can do close to 2,000. So I mean, things are progressing along the way. And it was also great that somebody gave us two months of a free 2 months of working out at the Y. You know, to go there to exercise and build up my lungs. And so that came at a wonderful time because I go like, I guess we have to start walking because that's what the doctor said. And where we're going to walk would probably be to the mall, the Spirit Lake Mall. But all of a sudden we get this call of saying, hey, we'd like to give you 2 months at the Y. And so I just said, boy, I couldn't think of a better time. So we're continually doing that kind of together. So that's kind of my story. It took a lot longer to get back here, but I didn't understand when Dean said, you don't know what you're in for. And I really didn't. The whole month of January, I could not have done anything. And in February, I was getting a little bit better, but I would be weak, I'd get tired out quick. And then Dean said, but March 1st, you better be in the office. I did start this last week getting into the office, but it's been working out well. So I'm just going to say it's good to be home. Thank you for your love and your prayers and just for who you are as a church.
So bring the pastor.
Secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take some time of silence and to talk to the Lord, a little one-on-one with him. If there's sins that you need to confess to him this morning, please do that. And if there's some praises to him, also let him know what you were thanking him for and what you're praising for as well. Let's take some time to do that at this particular time. Amen. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. We praise your name. Amen.
Thank you.
stand as we just hear God's message today. And I know what time it is. You soon know that. But I'm just going to do an object lesson with some kids out of here today. That will be the message. So it'll be a little shorter than, it'll be less shorter than usual. I'll read what the passage is here today. It comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of time, at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. You may be seated. We all get tempted, right? We always get tempted. Temptation is not a sin until you yield or give in to it. Just keep that in mind. Just because you get tempted doesn't mean like, oh man, that's the end of me. No. The devil will tempt, God will test your faith to build our faith stronger in him. So I just kind of want to show a little bit about temptation here. I need some kids to come up here. Got any kids here today? Ainsley, you gotta come up. Ainsley, you just gotta come up. If you don't come up, it means Oliver has to come up. Okay. Good thing you got two here. You're off the hook. Okay. Now, here's what I got. Hold. I want them to see your faces. You like candy? You do? This is what I got here today. Who wants a Hershey's bar? Jenna, who would like a Reese's? There's like four peanut butter cups.
I like peanut butter.
Okay. You can change because you don't like peanut butter. You do. Okay. Now, how about if, McKenna, will you trade me that Reese's candy bar for this? No, I cannot. What's your sister's name?
Delia.
Yeah, Delia. I'm sorry, Brian. I just cannot remember names very good. Delia, would you trade me that Hershey bar for this one? Now, you don't have to, you know, you can think about it. You don't have to think about it. Okay, you'll trade. Okay, you can go back, sit down. Those are yours. But wait, before you go. Delia? I'll give you everything in my pocket if you give me your candy bar.
I'm not going to risk it.
You're not going to risk it? McKenna, I'll give you everything in my pocket if you give me your candy. You're not going to risk it either? Okay, well, how about if I give you $5? Would you trade if I give you $5? Okay, all right. Dalia, would you trade if I give you 10? Dalia, I'll give you $10 if you trade in your candy bar. McKenna, you can be seated. I just kind of want to give you a little demonstration of temptation. We always think we need something else. And there's a way that the devil knows our weaknesses. He knows the things that we are drawn to. And somehow along the way, he wants us to believe in what he says and tempting us to go his direction. Now you notice with the candy bars, they all like sweetness. The devil likes to make all of his temptations sweet so that we would give into it. And sometimes we do. And so with temptation, there's always something that we think that God has either not given us that we thought we deserved, but we just take whatever is there. And very often do we say, like, Dalia. It's not Dalia.
Yeah.
Is it Dalia? Dalia says, I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied with what I have. The devil wants to make us unsatisfied. And so he tried to do that with Jesus. And you notice what Jesus said to the devil every time he was tempted by him? It is written. Jesus always went back to God's word to confront what that temptation was. But notice, did you notice though that the devil also knows scripture? The devil will use some scripture, but he'll twist it and make it into something that it's never meant to be. And so then Jesus just said, it's not good to test God. You're not to test God, but we're just to trust in him and to believe in him regardless of what takes place in our lives. So that's really the message today. We all get tempted, but we do not have to give in to that temptation. We can not risk what's already been given to us through Christ on the cross, which is eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. And don't you ever give it up and say, I don't need Jesus in my life anymore. So, amen. Now we have communion. Let me move this here. I remember something here. As I would share the thing that's gone on in my life here the last couple of months, I've said, I did not know that I had anything to be concerned about. And yet, what the doctors found out and what they saw was I had a lot to be concerned about. And I heard, I think it was from Emily. She said, Dad, that can happen in churches where people can come and hear the message, can hear a sermon over and over and over again, and they think they're okay. They'll say, oh, I'm just fine. Because I was at church. I heard a message. I saw the people. And still be lost. And I said, that's really a good observation. Because that can really happen. And I just think of even the people in the Ukraine and in Russia, the soldiers that are being killed every day. How many of them really know that there is an eternity of where they will go to if their life ends on this earth? It's either heaven or it's hell. And so it's very important for us to know that Jesus came to save all of us. And he laid down his life so that we would be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. It's very simple. But you need to receive that. You need to believe that in your whole heart and trust in him. So it brings us to the Lord's table. We practice an open communion, which means
anyone can take communion. We just ask that you love Jesus as your personal Savior. If he's not your personal Savior, then please don't come to receive his body and blood, because you'd be a phony, baloney person. You'd be a fake. So it's better to be honest before God than to be a fake. So as you come, you can make that. You can make that decision of saying, I need Jesus. In my life, I need the forgiveness of my sins. You can start today by being a real Christian. But I leave that up to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks to his Father. And he told his disciples, as they're in the room together, the upper room, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Eat all of it in my name. And to remember this until I come again. He then took the cup. And when he had given thanks to his Father, he said to his disciples, this is my blood given for you. It's shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of your sins. We invite you to come today. There'll be two stations. First station is you can come, receive from the servers over here. They'll give you the cup and the bread. If you don't want wine, then just hold your hand like this. They'll give you grape juice. If you want to come up to the altar, you can sure do that. You can kneel or you can stand up there. Spend as much time as you want up there. And then go and be seated. We'll serve you up by the altar on the railing. And then you can go back and be seated to wherever you're sitting. So I'll ask the servers to come.
Thank you.
Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. For God the Apostles' Creed, amen. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together before the benediction. Sorry about that, Dean.
I'll find it.
I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe
in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before the benediction, I just want everyone to know that Julian Hansen's dad passed away this morning. just so you're aware of that. And the benediction is this one. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Amen.